With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection, and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Hey, what up? Welcome in. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is All Ball. Well, welcome in. And if you listen to part one of Chris Crutchfield, you're like, man, that guy's a great guy. What an interesting story, an interesting journey. Part two, well, it gets even more interesting. Why leave being an assistant coach and a highly paid one at Arkansas to take a Division II head coaching job somewhere in Oklahoma? Oh, yeah. And then how to get the, I guess, dream job of being the head coach's alma mater. All that's in here. Let's get to part two with Chris Crutchfield. You're on All Ball. So you go to TCU. What was Neil like?
Oh, he came from Roy Williams. I mean, they won a lot of games at Kansas when he was there. So he was sharp. He was smart. Played for Coach K at West Point. So, I mean, you can only know what that characteristic was like. So he was real detail oriented. And I learned, you know, Kansas basketball. I learned the North Carolina transition break. I learned a lot of things about basketball that I thought I knew, but I learned even more just being around him those 2 years.
When you're at New Mexico State, you guys won a lot, right? What about at TCU? I think you guys struck, right? That was in the Mountain West, I think, right?
Correct. That's correct.
And that was before they did all the facilities. That was before they threw a bunch of money into the program.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Not easy.
Hard job.
Yes. TCU is a very, very hard, which is funny because now TCU, it's not an easy job, but now it's a place, it's kind of a hot place, right?
Well, they change, when you change facility and you got resources, it's amazing what you can do.
Yeah. Yes. Completely. And then, okay, so now you're moving around. You guys get let go at the end of your second year. Right.
Well, actually, I left to go to Oral Roberts.
Okay.
And they stayed around for another year. They kept Neil for another year.
So now you go work for Scott.
Correct.
What was that like?
I was shocked that the Oral Roberts job was better than the TCU job at that time. Yeah. Believe it or not. When I tell people that, they're like, no way. I said, oh, yes, way. Yes, way. From salaries all the way up until all of it. Just what a program was. Scott had done an unbelievable job there. I replaced Corey Williams and went in there and we won conference championship the first year. I mean, just ran through it. And I ended up going to the NCAA tournament. And if I ain't mistaken, we ended up going to two more NCAA tournaments and another postseason play while I was there. But I was there for 4 years with Scott. Scott was great to work for. And we had some really good players had a lot of fun. I really enjoyed living in Tulsa. I got blessed and had the opportunity to go to Oklahoma after that.
At Oral Roberts at the time, though, as much as it's a better job in terms of resources, support, you're working for a good dude. It's not a yeller, screamer, cursor, right. You know, whatever.
Right.
But like, did kids still had to wear a tie to go to class, right? You still have an honor code. There's still, you know, there was a time there where you guys couldn't recruit kids with tattoos. Like, that's not easy. That's not easy.
You know what? You didn't have to wear ties back then. They just released that, but you had to wear a collar shirt.
Okay.
So a polo did work. And you had to wear pants. You couldn't wear shorts. And you had to go to chapel twice a week. So I was able to put a spin on that, Doug. I mean, anytime you're going to do a home visit and you're talking to a mom.
Sure.
There's nothing wrong with going to church.
Yes. And yeah, so it's all the bombs. The players in their hand, that's like,
players is like, no. And mom was like, I want you to go to Oral Roberts because you're going to go to church two times a week. That's pretty good.
How did you get on with Coach Kruger? How'd that all go down?
Actually, my good friend Lou Hill. And I've been friends since my time at Tyler Junior College, and we've always kept a relationship. And it's funny, I tell people this story, Doug. Every time I was at Oral Roberts, we would play Southern Utah. So you fly into Vegas, and we would stay in Vegas and then drive up for the game and come back. For four straight years, I would always go and see Lou and see Coach. And at the time, I didn't know Coach, but Lou introduced me to him, and we go to lunch. When it's suitable, we go to dinner. I stop by the office and just talk for four straight years. Then when they get the job at Oklahoma, he called me and asked me, he said, Crutch, is Oklahoma a good job? I said, why you ask? He was like, I think Coach, they offered Coach a job, but he turned them down. I said, well, it's probably one of the better jobs in the state. I mean, they've had success. Now they got some problems because of, you know, what's going on there now, but Coach is good at that. He specializes in turning things around. And Don't say another word about it. 2 weeks later, you know, he gets the job. And then he called, he said, would you have any interest? Coach wants someone that knows Texas and knows Oklahoma recruiting. I said, would I have interest? Yeah, I'm on my way. You tell me I can get the job. I go interview, it go well. He calls Scott, and I'm waiting by the phone, man. One day he said, he called Scott and tells Scott he's going to offer me the job, right? And this is about 9 o'clock in the morning. He said he's going to call you on your school, on your desk phone by about noon. I said, okay, I'll be here. We used to go to lunch every day with our staff at Oral Roberts. That day I didn't go to lunch. I'm waiting at my desk by the desk phone. Back then, you had desk phones back then. And he called by 12:45 and offered me the job.
You know, what's interesting about that is my dad actually, you know, got a chance to coach Kruger in college as on the freshman team. And then he was assistant on the varsity at K-State.
I didn't know that. Far.
Yeah.
No way. Yeah. With Jack Hartman?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh. And then I nearly went to play for him at Florida.
Oh.
And Miles Simon's my best friend, right?
Yep.
So Miles was the class before me. And they recruited us hard. Man, why am I forgetting? Oh, man. Oh, he had an assistant who actually, like Lou, passed away last year, Ron Stewart.
Yep.
So Ron basically lived out in Orange County trying to recruit the two of us. So Miles went on a visit the year before and loved it and then got on a plane to come home. And he was like, it's too far. I can't do it. I love Florida. They went to the Final Four in 94 and I was like all in. And but they had been on me for so long. I think they were just like worn down with the fact that like I want to take my visits. And I started to get interest from other people. And anyway, but you fast forward to when Coach took that job. I'll never forget. I was in Connecticut and Josie, actually, I reached out to Josie to see where he was with the coaching search. And he said, what do you think? Because my brother was at San Diego State and I had done a bunch of UNLV games.
Yep.
He said, what do you think about Coach Kruger? I said, you can't find a better guy to turn around your program.
Yep.
You know, and as you know, for what that place needed, where to let people in, you know, to be kind of a man of the people. Plus, you know, they love golf and he loves golf and all that stuff. So when he didn't get him the first time, you know, he was kind of going through his list with me. He didn't use a committee. He didn't use a search firm or whatever. He was just doing his own thing. So he's kind of, I was like, I said, well, why did Kruger turn you down? He said, you know, I don't know. I said, well, how much? It's like, why don't you just offer him more money? And he did. And, you know, Coach Kruger to this day would say, you know, UNLV was in bad financial shape. He knew they couldn't match. And Vegas has, you know, never been the same. Like, obviously now Kevin's trying to save it, right? But it literally never been the same.
Nope.
And, okay, so what is it about Lon Kruger? Like, what's the magic? What's the secret sauce there?
I just, at the heart of it all, he's a good man. He's a good man that cares about kids, and he's smart. He's really, really smart. And I think when you got those things going for you, you're going to be successful no matter what you do. And he treats people right. He treats everyone right, from a billionaire donor to the manager. He's going to treat you the same. And I enjoy that. A guy of his stature, just watching how he maneuvered through the office. When strangers came in the office, he would roll out the red carpet for them like he knew him for 20 years. And he would just treat everyone so sincere, so genuine about the way he went about things. Very professional with the staff. And he was demanding for the players, but he was fair and he was firm. But he was a good coach. I mean, he knew. I tell people this today, Doug. He's one of the best basketball offensive minds in the game of basketball. And the time he put in watching film, the way he could dissect a defense to squeeze out an extra 6 or 8 points a game, he was really good at that.
Yeah, no, he had great, great basketball mind. The building of that Final Four team, and obviously it didn't end great in the Final Four, but that's kind of a moot point, right? The building blocks of it. Talk to me about how you guys in recruiting put that together.
Well, it started off, we knew we needed better guards in that 2012 class, right? And where we were, we really couldn't get involved with any high major guys. So luckily, I had a relationship with Buddy Hill from my time at Oral Roberts from, you know, in Bahamas. We kind of helped put him at Sunrise at that time. At that time, we had no idea he was going to be what he's going to be. We got lucky with Buddy. Lou picked up Isaiah Cousins from Mount Vernon High School in Mount Vernon, New York, who was getting some A-10 feels, but no one really pulled the trigger. Only reason Lou took him because he kind of reminded Lou of himself, and he was from Mount Vernon. And then we end up getting a kid, Jalon Hornbeck from Dallas. He was a highly recruited kid, maybe rise out of top 100. We was able to convince Ryan Spangler to come back home from Gonzaga, who was a really good high school player in Oklahoma. And we took a kid by the name of DJ Bennett, was a junior college kid from Indian Hills Junior College by way of Chicago. And that was our first recruiting class. And we thought we had all the right guards. We thought we had a big-time piece in Ryan Spangler. And we just thought DJ was a good enough athlete to play in the Big 12. He was a backup in the Big 12, what he was. And the whole thing was, if we keep this group together and can plug in a couple pieces along the way, we will have a chance to be really, really good. We didn't think we would be – you know, Final Four good. We didn't think that. But as luck have it, everything fell into place. Everything fell into place. Those guys got bigger, stronger. Buddy turned himself into a great shooter. Isaiah turned himself into a playmaking guard at 6'4". And, of course, Ryan Spangler did all the dirty work. He was the best rebounder. He was the best position defender. And he just did all the things that brought everything together. He was the perfect glue guy on that Final Four team. But it is amazing the competitive spirit that Buddy had, that Isaiah had. And that was the core of the whole thing, man, because we built around those two guys.
Yeah, the buddy healed effect, right? And just his infectious personality.
Yep.
What's that like to be around on a daily basis?
It was fun. It was fun because I remember him as a freshman telling all the older guys that we had inherited in our program that they were soft and they weren't tough. And you know, I can't wait till you guys leave. You know, he was like that. And I knew then, I was like, this guy's crazy. Either he's crazy or he's serious. Like he's telling these upperclassmen that they're soft and they're not competitive. And this is freshman year in college. And he didn't have a great freshman year, of course, but he was like I told you, every day he brought it. He played hard and he had this competitive spirit about him that was so contagious. And eventually it just bled into those older guys who end up being a 10 seed in the tournament his first year, ended up getting beat by San Diego State. But we had jumped in year two from not making the tournament in year one to year two with that 2012 class of being a 10 seed. And we felt like we had jumped a year in our rebuild. So you go to, it's funny, you go into the next year, which is year three. We're luckily a 5 seed. I don't know how that happened, but we ended up getting beat first round by North Dakota State in Spokane. And that was kind of the
I was there. I called the game.
Oh my.
You were up four.
No way.
You were up four like a minute 30 to go.
Yep. Ended up going to overtime.
Yep.
Missed free throws.
I missed free throws. I think DJ fouled out. Somebody fouled out too. It was missed free throws, a couple dumb plays and a foul out or whatever, you know.
Yep. And I tell you what happened. Isaiah Cousins fouled a kid on a 3-point shot.
That's what it was.
Yeah. That's what it was. Did he foul out? Yep. Exactly right. So that game, Doug, kind of was the gas for the program. The competitive spirit even more, because those guys were so upset that they lost the way they lost it, because they knew they gave the game away. And those guys all played a big part. Buddy, Isaiah, Jalon, they all played a big part in that game. Ryan Spangler. So they worked their butt off that offseason. And I knew then, I told Coach, and Lou would always say, that loss was good for us. We had made the tournament. Everybody was happy. But that loss was good for us because now we had to grow up and be serious about the game of basketball. And that offseason, I think we added a couple more pieces. We added a shooter, a kid by the name of Frank Booker, came in, and because we needed more shooting to space the floor. And that junior year was the year we ended up going to the Sweet 16, you know, getting beat on the last second shot by Michigan State on the offensive rebound. And we really felt like that was a year that we grew up to the point where we knew we had something here. And we kept them all together, man. That was the key to the whole thing. Those guys had played 109 games together. Ryan Spangler, Buddy Hill, Isaiah Cousins, and Jordan Woodard. Those guys played 109 games together. And that was the team that ended up going to the Final Four just because we had chemistry, we had a connection. And we was talented, of course. But when you keep a group together that long, like in this day and age, you're probably going to win.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
What do you remember? Let's take the good memories. So what do you remember, you know, Hopkinsville, Kentucky to junior college to UNO to UTSA to junior college in Mexico? What do you remember about walking out 75,000 people are in Houston to watch your game?
It was an unbelievable experience. I get chills right now just thinking about that. And the good part about it, they would take my boys with me on the floor, and they was probably 15, 13, 14, 15. And you know how it is when you're that age. You know, everything is big. And had a chance to get them on the floor and hang out for the practices, and they're on the bus, you know, you know what kind of escort you get when you're in the Final Four. So it was an unbelievable experience, man, for them to be able to be a part of that and see that and experience that. Because as a coach, that is the ultimate goal, man. It's so many years we go to the coaching convention, and you always dream of being in the Final Four as a coach. Like, you go to the practices, you go to the games, but the ultimate goal is I want to be on that floor one day and see what that's like. And you know, we had the opportunity to do that. And one of those memories that'll last forever.
The other side to it was Villanova was amazing that night, right? And you had beaten them early in the year.
Yeah, I wasn't going to break it up. I wasn't going to break it up.
But how do you in the moment, you know, not lose your mind because you did make the Final Four, right? Like, you get beat by 44, but on the other hand, there's so much good. What's like the juxtaposition of emotions? What's that?
Well,
what's that like?
I think no one could have handled that better than Coach Kruger, and the way he came into the locker room after the game, even at halftime, he was down 20 at halftime, and no one thought the game was over because we came back out, we cut it to 9 and had some momentum. But it's one of those nights, man, we just didn't make a shot. The shots that we had been making a week before in Anaheim, we couldn't get those shots. Then, of course, Villanova made everything. And on top of it, we beat them pretty convincingly in December in Hawaii, and we beat them pretty bad. I mean, we was up 28 at one time on them. And I think that helped them a little bit, get a little more focused. And it was a tough one. It was a tough one to sit down there and watch that thing transpire in front of all those people. But in hindsight, you made it to the biggest stage, and a lot of teams will love to trade places with you. And I hated for those guys to have to go out that way, but they had a fantastic career at Oklahoma. And to this day, Buddy says he's never watched a game.
What was leaving Oklahoma like?
It was time. It was time. I'd been there 8 years, and I interviewed probably 7 times for head coaching jobs in the last probably 2-3 years and never could get a shot. And I just felt like it was time for me to leave. It was time. I've done all I could do here, and coach was great. I just thought that it was time for me to move on and do something different, or be around someone else to learn something different about basketball. So I made the jump to Arkansas with Eric Musselman.
And I've had Eric on. I've known Eric a long time. He is There are no two more different people, right, in terms of energy. Like he can make coffee nervous, right, with his level of energy. What's that like for you to go to work where it's so different in terms of your boss than the guy you worked for 8 years?
You know what? I tell people all the time that it was fun because I say this, I've been really blessed, Doug, to be around the people that I've worked for, from Lou Henson to Neil Doherty to Scott Sutton to Lon. They all had that same personality. You know, they was all kind of laid back, mild-mannered, not yellow screamers, good people. And then I go to work for Eric, who's high energy, high octane. I mean, he's impulsive. And it was quite different. But he's unbelievable in his game prep. He's unbelievable in practices and the way he run a practice. And I still use some of the stuff that I learned under him today with my program here at Omaha. It's unbelievable. I mean, I've kept practice schedules. I got him in my desk right here. Like, he's really good. He's a good coach, and I knew he was going to be successful. I mean, we won 20 games that first year with some talent, but not a lot compared to what people had in the SEC.
Sure. What was coaching in the SEC like? It's very different from the Big 12. Very different from, you know, when you're in the Pac-12 later.
Oh, I tell people all the time, like, the athletes, they're bigger, faster, jump higher. And they're not as skilled as guys in the Big 12, but the athleticism was off the charts. I mean, everyone had 7-8 big-time athletes. And that's what's the difference. And the teams that had the really good guards, though, those are teams that won. You know, that Kentucky's, those are teams that did well in the tournament.
Then you made the decision, hey, I want to coach my own team, my own program. And it was back to D2. What's that decision? Because there was a lot of people like, what are you doing, man?
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that was one of those come to Jesus moments. And when you sat down with your wife and just say, hey, we got a chance. And it's funny, it was after COVID. COVID was just coming into play, right?
Right, right.
And had no idea what college basketball was going to be like the next year, right? Because we shut down in the conference tournament in Nashville, Tennessee. We beat Vanderbilt the next day. We were getting ready to play South Carolina. Boom, shut down. And I had no idea what was going to happen. Like, we couldn't go on the road recruiting in the spring, in the summer. So, I mean, my boys was home with me. They both, one was in junior college and one was at Stetson down in Florida. And they was home with us for the 4 months.
Playing for Corey, right, Stetson?
Yeah, sure did. And so I was like, no, I missed the kids being around because they had been gone. We was empty nesters. And I said, you know what? I put all this time into other people's kids. I need to coach my own. And we decided to take a huge pay cut and move to Ada, Oklahoma. And our boys came down there with us, and we coached them. And that was the best year, I'm telling you, Doug. I had so much fun. And it was great to be able to take a back seat to all the riffraff of Power Five basketball and really, really coach and be involved with my guys. And we still couldn't go recruiting back then. So I was home every day. I mean, every Saturday, the kids would come over. We would watch football. We would eat Sunday dinners together. And it had been a long time since we'd done that. And you know how important that is with family, especially once they're gone, then they come back. You really miss that. I thought that was a crucial time for me in my basketball career, just to be able to take that time. It's kind of like a sabbatical almost, because it was all basketball. It was all basketball and all family, and it gave me a great work-life balance, and I really enjoyed that year.
But you only did it for a year, right? It was literally a year sabbatical. Then you go work for Dana.
Yep. Yep.
That's kind of back to the what you're used to, right?
No doubt.
He's an all-timer great dude. And all things kind of circling around Omaha. How'd the Dana job come to be? Stubbs, I'm sure Set you out there, right?
No doubt. Stubbs and Coach Kruger, you know, they go back. Dana worked for Lon at K-State. And they've been connected for years. And then Stubbs was with Dana for, you know, 11 years. So we've been all in the same family, you know, since I've been with Coach Kruger forever. You know, me and Stubbs played here together. So we've been best friends since, I mean, I hosted him on his official visit. So that tells you. Yeah, so we've been friends for a long time. So when he called, I said no. And I was like, Dana, I can't do that right now. My kid's going into their senior year. I told him I was going to coach him. And then Coach Kruger called and said, Crutch, you've been busting your butt trying to be a Division I head coach. You think you're going to get a Division I job from East Central? And he was honest. And he was brutally honest with me. And I said, you're right, Coach, you got a point there. So I thought about it for a couple of days and went home and talked to the family and, you know, shed some tears and talked about it more and more and end up, it worked out. Me making the move to Oregon, just because if I don't make that move, Doug, I don't get this job here no more.
What's your biggest takeaway from working for Dana Altman?
It was different. It was different the way he ran his practices. He was the only one that had the practice sheet.
Yeah. He does all that. That's his baby, right?
Yeah. And it would be like on a little note card like this, front and back. And you get to see it every now and then. He'll show it to you and say, Go down, take that group and go do this, this, and this. And he would run the whole practices, and it was fun. It was energetic, and he's smart. He kind of reminded you a little bit of Coach Kruger a little bit, but he was big on defense. I mean, he would get down in the stance and do defensive slides with the guys. And I really enjoyed it to the point where, you know, like it was hard. If it wasn't for a head coaching job, I'd probably still be at Oregon right now.
The UNO job comes open. Mm-hmm. You're an alum. You've been looking for a head coaching job.
Yeah.
Share with me the memories, if you will, of how it came to be. Do you remember where you were when you found out somebody told you it's coming open?
Yeah, I was in my office, and Dana walked in, and you know he had a conversation with his former boss, Bruce Rappinson, and he said, I think UNO is going to make a move. The new AD came from Creighton, worked for Bruce, and I think they're going to make a change here in the next day or so. Would you have an interest in the job? I said, of course, I want the job. I mean, I didn't hesitate 1 minute. I said, I want the job. And, I mean, 2 days go by, 3 days go by, nothing happens, right? I'm like, oh, maybe it ain't going to come open. I left it alone. And that Sunday night, it came open. And Dana called and said, well, I don't know what's going to happen, but you're going to be one of two or three guys that they're going to talk to. And when he said that, I didn't think I had a chance because, you know, I knew it was a couple guys at Creighton that had ties to the AD that probably had a better chance of getting a job than me. Then to be honest with you, Dana went to work for me. I mean, he flat out went to work. He called some people here in Omaha. He's got some things moving and we was in the conference tournament and we Zoomed. We had a Zoom interview. And 2 days later, they flew to Portland to see me. And that's how it happened.
Did the president give you 2 hours to go home and get a suit and take the job like he did at Tyler?
No, but after they left Portland, we was on our way to the NIT. And I didn't know what was going to happen. So it's funny. We take off to go to NIT and we go play at Utah State. And we win, we go play at Texas A&M. And I'm on the road when Adrian actually called and said, we want you to be our next head coach. And we're going to do a press conference here this day. I'm like, oh, man, I don't have a suit with me. I don't have anything with me to do the press conference. And I'm on the road, right? I'm recruiting. Then I'm going to College Station for the game. So I had to call my wife and, you know, can you put a suit in the mail? Can you ship this stuff to me? And I go directly from College Station to Omaha, and the rest is history.
So what's the place like now in comparison to what it was like then?
Oh, it's totally changed. It's totally changed. It's a whole new city. And I left her in 96. And we've been back because her family, my wife is from Omaha. Her family's still here. And we've been back and forth to visit and stuff like that. But we haven't lived here since then. And like downtown's changed. The city has grown out west. Economically, it's a whole different city. Brookshire Hathaway has boomed in this city, and they call them the Brookshire Hathaway babies. There's so many companies here. There's so much, so many resources here. The city has changed. This university has changed. I mean, we've grown to two campuses now instead of one campus. We got an unbelievable facility that we play in. Where our guys live, and it's a major entertainment area, Exarban, and there's hotels, restaurants, bars, you name it, right there where they live, and it's walking distance from the arena. And we're really close, Doug, for this thing being a really, really big time job. We're a practice facility away from this thing being a really, really special place.
Okay, so at your level, facilities still really important, because you know, at the Power Five level, they're like, it's just the NIL. Just get us the NIL, right?
Right.
What is recruiting like in the summer league?
Well, I think it's really good. It's not an NIL deal. I mean, our NIL will come down to retention more so than recruiting, because you're always going to have Power Fives trying to take your best player away.
Right.
So it's going to come down to
how do you manage that?
You can't. If you have success and you have a player that's averaged 15 plus points a game, it's likely that he's going to move. He's going to go somewhere, and that's okay. You got a plan for it. You plan for it. You recruit like it's going to happen, and because you know it's going to happen.
So you're recruiting out of the portal. JUCO, high school, what's your focus?
First year, we went after high school kids, and we took four junior college kids that had 3 years of eligibility left. And that was on purpose because I wanted guys that wanted to be here. I wanted guys that I could build a culture around and build a culture with that wasn't going to leave. And we've been really good because we flipped the roster. We only got one player that was on the roster when I took the job. But we've been able to keep a nucleus of guys, eight guys from last year's team that's with us still. And we plugged in one transfer, two high school kids, and a junior college kid. And that's our team outside of our walk-ons. So that eight nucleus guys that we're bringing back, that's the core of our team. And they all played quality minutes for us last year, even though we wasn't very good. They grew a lot of experience. And we wanted to take guys that wasn't going to be looking down their nose at Omaha or UNO. We wanted guys that was going to be proud of coming to a place like this to build something special. And that's why we didn't go to the transfer portal. We turned down, I'm telling you right now, we probably turned down five Power Five guys the first year, because I didn't think you could really build a program at this level with transfers right away.
Who are you most like when you're on the sidelines? Like, of all the guys you've worked for, played for, who do you say, this is who I'm most like?
Probably Lon.
In what way?
Well, because I'm constantly thinking, what's next? I mean, he's always been a guy that's always been two or three plays ahead of what's happening. And I tried to kind of emulate that a little bit, because you can't, it's an emotional game, but you got to be in control of your emotions all the time. If not, you can't think. And there's a lot of things going on around you. If you get caught up in the emotions of the game or what's going on, you'll lose track. then you'll lose four possessions and won't even know it. So I try to stay mild. I try to stay real, real low key. I don't get too high. I don't get too low. And I'm always thinking about what's next. You know, what's next offensively, what's next defense, what's next substitution. Like I'm always 2 minutes ahead of what the clock says.
Who's the guy in your league that you're like, you know what? This guy's really good. And I wish more people knew how good he was. I don't want to take my players, but he's really, really good.
In our league?
Yeah.
It's been some good ones now. I thought Paul Mills was pretty good. He's gone.
Yep.
Eric Henderson is really good at South Dakota State. Mm-hmm. Got a lot of respect for Dave Richmond at North Dakota State. All those guys do a really good job in their locations. And that's probably it.
Is there any way you guys can get the tournament out of the Dakotas? Right? Everybody in the league is like, man, they're like, we got to go up and win a tournament in the Dakotas?
I'm glad you said that. There's been a lot of people talking about that in the last couple months. And it's funny, 2026, it is open for bid. So we'll see what happens.
Get in Omaha. All right, last thing. Who's the Chris Crutchfield out there? The longtime assistant that, man, this dude needs a shot. Right? This may not be your ultimate shot, but it's your first Division I head coaching job. Who's the guy who you've been out on the road with, you know, is really good, great dude, but man, this guy's got to get a head coaching job.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good question right there. I'll give you probably two or three names.
Okay. Give me a why for each of them.
Okay. One will be Yafet King, who's at Tulsa right now. He's been at the low, mid-major levels, mid-plus experience, living in some major cities, got some recruiting contacts, worked for some really good guys, Tim Jankovich, people like that. He's one Power Five job away from being a Division I head coach.
Okay, yeah, Yafet King's one. Okay.
Emmanuel Dildy, who I had an opportunity to coach at New Mexico State, and he's been the same. He's bounced around from place to place, Eastern Illinois, Northwestern, spent some time in Oklahoma. Now he's at Duke. He's going to get a head coaching job here in 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
Got ties in Chicago. Great recruiter, great personality, experience. The last one, I would say this, Chris Kerwell at Duke. You remember Chris as a player?
Sure, of course.
He's got experience. I think he's been around a little bit, spent some time at Marquette. Now he's at Duke. Experienced, well-mannered guy, understands basketball, got recruiting ties all across the country. And he's a Duke guy. So he's another guy that I think is ready.
Those Dukies, I don't think they're going to need help. Yafet King, they may need a little help. The Dukies, they're all on TV or in the NBA.
No doubt.
Doing what I want you, that Duke family, you're in a good place. Your favorite part about the job is what?
Me here or just coaching?
Yeah. No, right here. Well, either.
Well, I think in a place like this, Doug, when you this is your school, the amount of pride and the amount of ownership that you have as a head coach to try to build something, because when you build it and you go to the NCAA tournament, it's going to be the first. And that's what I'm excited about every morning I wake up. I'm excited about that process. Like, we're going to build something special that everybody's going to remember that day Omaha name is called on Selection Sunday. And that's the ultimate goal, and that's what excites us all.
Awesome. Hey, man, it was great to catch up. I know you're super busy, but your story is an awesome one. And you're somebody who everybody who rubs shoulders with you just feels better because of it. So I always need it to catch up. And I appreciate you joining me.
Thank you for having me, man. It's been fun hanging out with you for a couple hours, seemed like.
All right, we'll talk soon.
All right, buddy.
That's it for All Ball. Remember to check out the Doug Gottlieb Show. It's a radio show, but also available in podcast form wherever you download this podcast or wherever you download podcasts on the iHeart Radio app. And of course, you can listen to it live on Fox Sports Radio or foxsportsradio.com or the iHeart Radio app daily, 3 to 5 Eastern time. And we also have a daily pod called In the Bonus. There's lots of different stuff that I can annoy you with my overall sports takes. My thanks to Chris Crutchfield for all of his time. My thanks to you for listening, downloading, reviewing, rating. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is All Ball.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.